around servanthood. An example of this is that early in chapter 13, Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. The chapter shows that since Jesus is nearing the end of his life and public ministry, his time with his disciples becomes more precious as he tries to get them ready for the task they have that will be theirs after his death. Now, our focus is on St. John 13, verses 34 and 35. It says, and I'll read it, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." So let's break that down. Jesus says this is a new command because he says, one, love as I have loved you. That was the new portion. This was a sacrificial love. They were to love by following the example that Jesus showed. He says, I have given you an example. Now do as I do. This is the important part. Other people will know that you are my disciples by the love that you show to one another. It's not a secret, but when we love one another, the world takes notice of that. And Jesus said, men will know you are my disciples based upon the love that you show to one another. Yes, we can show love. We must show love. And as far as I know, this is the only verse that I am aware of in the Bible where Jesus tells us how to identify other Christians. It is by love. Now, the amazing thing is that this love is already within us. This is not just any kind of love. This is not lip service love, but it is genuine, godly love. It's sacrificial. It's caring. It's empathetic. It's wanting the best for others. Now, when Jesus left us, he said he was going to give us a comforter that would be within the heart or within the soul or within the body of all believers, his spirit. Now, Paul tells us that the spirit that he gave us, that we find in Galatians 5:22, that package that he gave us includes love. In fact, the very first Christian attribute listed in Galatians 5:22 is love. So, my brothers and sisters, we need to love one another to show the world that we are Christians and to do the things that God would have us to do. So today, let's honor our God by loving one another. Thank you, and may your day be blessed.
Thank you, Brother Bell, for that lecture. I'm Deacon Clarence Strope, and let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you so much for what you have blessed us with. Thank you for allowing us to rise up this day, Lord. Thank you for another opportunity to be a part of New Hope Alive. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we want to pray for our New Hope family, and all of those who are listening to this broadcast at this time, we pray for your families, your loved ones. Lord, watch over us, guide us, and keep us. Protect us from hurt, harm, and danger. We pray for those who are sick and shut in and those who are bereaved. We ask that you will provide healing grace to their minds, body, and spirit, and comfort to their souls. Lord, please forgive us of all of our sins. Watch over us, Lord. Allow us traveling grace as we venture away from our homes, our church, visiting with our family and loved ones. Continue to watch over us, Lord. Always keep us within your heart. And we ask these blessings and prayers in your holy Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm calling your name, 'cause I need you
right now, Lord.
I'm calling your name, 'cause I need you, Lord,
right now, Lord.
Well, sometimes I get tired and sometimes I get weak. That's why I'm calling
your name,
'cause I need you
right now, Lord.
Yeah, I'm calling your name, 'cause I need you
right now, Lord.
Yeah, I'm calling your name, Lord, 'cause I need you, Lord,
right now, Lord.
Well, sometimes I get tired and sometimes I get weak. That's why I'm calling
your name.
Yeah, 'cause I need you
right now, Lord.
I'm praying this prayer right now, 'cause I need you, Lord,
right now, Lord.
Yeah, I'm praying this prayer right now, 'cause I need you, Lord,
right now, Lord.
Well, sometimes my way get hard and sometimes my way get up. That's why I'm calling
your name.
Yeah, 'cause I need you
right now, Lord.
Sing this song right now, 'cause I need you, Lord,
right now,
song right now, 'cause I need you, Lord,
right now, Lord.
Oh, sometimes I get tired, sometimes I get weak, but I'm calling, and I'm calling your name, 'cause I need you, Lord. Whoa, 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 yeah, yeah. Oh, oh, put your hands together, Lord. Anybody love the Lord? In the palm of your hand, Lord.
Right now, Lord.
Sometimes I'm weak.
Right now, Lord.
And sometimes I'm tired, Lord.
Right now, Lord.
And I need you to rock me.
Right now, Lord.
In the cradle of your own, Lord. Make it all right.
Right now, Lord.
I know you're right, Lord.
Right now, Lord.
And I know you will.
Right now, Lord.
Oh, sometimes I get tired. Sometimes I get weak, yeah. But I'm calling on
you,
Lord, 'cause I need you.
Right now, Lord.
Oh, right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Come on.
Right now.
I need you.
From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
My name is Minister DeCorey Newsom, and I am part of the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. And I'm delighted and elated to bring you the sermon today. Thank you for having me on the New Hope, on the Hope is Alive radio station. I'll be coming to you today from the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, and I'll be keeping in step with our BAM retreat and keeping ourselves accountable to God and others today in today's society. The text reads, "For we believers will be called to account and must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be repaid for what has been done in the body, whether good or bad. That is, each will be held responsible for his actions, purposes, goals, motives, the use or misuse of his time, opportunities, and abilities." Brothers and sisters, I just want to speak to you today from the sermon title, The Final Account. And if I could be candid just for a minute, I want to use myself. Can you imagine just sitting in front of the Master Christ Jesus, getting your good and bad deeds reviewed? I mean, like, really reviewed. There's no escaping. I can use myself. Just a few months ago, I was at work, and what we have at work is a correction sheet. We have a list of corrections that the company keeps tabs on to monitor how we can save money. And you wouldn't guess who's been at the top of that correction sheet for the last 3 months. No, not Brother Newsom. Yeah, you guessed it. It was me with 10 corrections. I've been at the company for 5 years, and they wouldn't expect for me to be at the top of the list with, yes, 10 corrections. So I got pulled into the office by my supervisor. He sat me down, and he treated me with so much grace and mercy, and it kind of felt like the final reviewing of my deeds because I didn't know what to expect. But he asked me, "Hey, what's been going on? I've seen your name at the top of this list, and I don't expect you to be there because you know so much. What's going on? How can I help you?" And we talked and we talked, and he gave me some pointers. I walked out the office with my head high, and I felt like I've been dealt with much grace. But I didn't feel like that was my final account. But I did have to give one for my actions. Brothers and sisters, we will have to give one day. After all of our toiling and straining down here on this earth as we know it, the text suggests that this house that we've grown in, which is our body, will be torn down through death. But we have another building, and a celestial dwelling not built with human hands made in the heavens. Paul goes on to wrestle with the fact that he wishes this old flesh would just be swallowed up by what is eternal, because let's face it, while waiting on the Lord, it gets hard sometimes. Because Paul knew we would have to give an account one day, he left us with verses such as, "We walk by faith and not by sight, for our ambition should be to please a Jesus that we can't see, whom we will answer to." This will be the final account. See, in this life, man can get off easy. We can find loopholes and pay his or her way out of giving an account. We've seen plenty of cases where people have blatantly done wrong and have gotten off scot-free. We watched numerous times where the hand of the law perverted its power in our presence without penalty. But we've also seen justice prevail and wickedness have to plead its guiltiness before us. However, let me turn the spotlight on our behavior. We should be living in a fear of God because of the fact that we know we shall have to answer to Christ for every good and wicked deed that has been done in the body. This will be the final account. Brothers and sisters, it should put godly fear in us when Paul talks about the repayment of our deeds. Don't you know we will be held responsible for our actions and our works? Well, let the Bible tell it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 says, each one's work will be clearly shown for what it is, for the day of judgment will disclose it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality and character and work of each person's work. If any person's work which has built remains, he will receive a reward. But if any person's work is burned up, he will suffer the loss. Yet he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Don't you know we will be held liable for every careless word spoken? I don't know about y'all, but I said some stuff sideways and out the side of my neck that I wish I could take back. Jesus said, but I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will have to give an accounting for every careless or useless word they speak. I remember my grandmother always tells me the theory of the toothpaste tube. She says, DeCorey, think about the toothpaste, how you can't back in the tube once it comes out. So I need to be watchful of my words, because Jesus says, I'll be judged for every careless one that spews out of my mouth. Don't you know we will be stripped bare before him, as we already are? Hebrews 4 and 13 says, and not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open and exposed and revealed to the eyes of him with whom we have to give an account. Thanks of God, I'm not really worried for the saints as for the ones out who are lost. Revelation chapter 20 says the great white throne judgment, those people will be judged. And if their names are not in the book of life, they will be hurled in the lake of fire. And that will be their final account. But oh, guess what? Saints of God, brothers and sisters, God's royal priesthood, though we as believers are all going to have the final sit down and review with our Savior in Christ, and we're going to have some corrections, and yes, we might have some works that get burned up in the fire, we're going to have some rewards as well. You can be reassured that this judgment does not result in your damnation. Oh no, saints of God, this final account is just the final evaluation of our salvation, so we can complete glorification. To God be all the glory, power, and dominion. This is the final account.
Well, praise the Lord. That was a powerful sermon. Hello, those of you that are in Radio Land. My name is Reverend Floyd Martin, and of course I'm of the New Hope Baptist Church also. And I'm going to extend the privileges of the church to you today. And as the minister has said, as Minister Newsom had told you, we all got to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we all got to account for all that we have done in our lives, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And that's where we as Christians will end up when that time comes. But we do know this, that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we know that the wages of sin is death. But then when we get to the good news part of it, the B part of that particular scripture says, but the gift of God is eternal life. And eternal life is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So today, if you are seeking Jesus as your Lord and Savior, remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, that's another bit of good news for us. So, God has made provisions for our eternal life through Jesus Christ. So if you're feeling lonely, you're feeling empty, you don't know which way to turn, I advise you today to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And know that he bore all of our sins on Calvary's cross. And he was buried in a borrowed tomb. And after 3 days, he got up out of that grave, declaring all power in heaven and earth is in his hands. He had conquered the grave. He had conquered death. So now we, as believers in Christ Jesus and his atonement work, have hope, and we have eternal life when we accept his atonement work on Calvary's cross. Oh, so if you don't know Jesus Christ and the pardons of your sins, accept him today. Pray this prayer with me right now. Pray this prayer with me for those of you that are looking to be saved and have eternal life. Father God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I'm asking you to forgive me for my sins. And I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died on Calvary for my sins and all the sins of the world. And again, that he was nailed to Calvary's cross and bled and died on Calvary and was buried and got up after 3 days and conquered death and conquered the grave. So now, I'm accepting you, my Lord, as my Savior, because you have done the work and you have extended salvation and eternal life to me. So today, I'm accepting you as my Lord and Savior, and I'm looking to turn my life around. I am repenting of all my sins, where that I can turn my life around and follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, you are saved. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Because when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells within you. It comes in within you. And it becomes your teacher, your guide throughout your life. So rejoice. Rejoice if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. For you have a new life ahead of you. You have a new life. And we're not saying that there's not going to be some speed bumps and troubles and trials and all that stuff, but you have Jesus now, so you'll know how to handle all those things that come up in your life that before really discouraged you. Now you have hope because you know that Jesus Christ has saved you. And in the, when it's all over and when everything is said and done, you have eternal life. Now, everybody doesn't reside in this area, so anybody that's anywhere else that accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I would advise you to go to the church of your choice and unite with that church so you can have fellow believers to worship with. And for those of you that are in this area, you know I'm going to extend the invitation to our church, which is New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, located at 1575 West 17th Street. And the church phone number is 909-887-2526. And then we have our email address at info@newhopembc.org. Or we have our website at www.newhopembc.org. So those are all the methods that you can get a hold of us. And if you want to unite with us, those are all the outlets that you can use. You can use one of them to secure that. And we'll look forward to seeing you. You, in fact, is gonna, or talking to you. We'll put you in contact with who you need to be in contact with in order to really finalize your uniting with New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. So, I'm going to say welcome to the family of Christ. Welcome to God's family. God bless you and keep you, and may your life from here on out be filled with joy, peace, love, and all of the fruit of the Spirit. God bless you.
Hey, Lion of the tribe of Judah,
you will talk my life around.
Jehovah Rapha, God, yeah. You turn my life around.
Amen. Amen.
You're mighty, mighty good, yeah.
Turn my life around. Wow, wow, wow. In many ways, that kind of reminds me of the message that I heard today by our own very own Minister DeCorey Newsom, rather. What a great, great message. And I also want to thank Deacon Anthony Bell for the devotional and reflections. Deacon Clarence Trope, with the prayer and invitation to discipleship by Reverend Floyd Martin. And now it's time for our interview with the very very aforementioned Minister DeCorey Newsom. Sir, thank you so much. And our co-host is on, Sister Beth Gill. Yeah, one of the two. It depends on where you are. I don't know. With you, you know, with you, it could be anywhere around the globe. So I don't know. Have you gone to a undisclosed location that we don't know about again?
No. I'm back in the Inland Empire. Glad to be back, too. We had an awesome day today in church. It was BAM, Boy and Men Weekend. And so what an awesome service today. I guess the men and boys had an awesome time on yesterday as well. So praise God for the layman. And actually, layman is any male person actually in our church willing to serve in any capacity. And that could be a young boy, teenage, college student, or men in our church. So that was our celebration today, and it went quite long. I know, Minister DeCorey, you had to rush your family home. Bless your heart.
Yes, yes.
So let me start by asking, now, what is your church background, and what inspired you to go into ministry?
Ooh, oh, my goodness. Okay. Church background. Well, if you guys didn't know already, I'm originally from Hazelhurst, Mississippi. Yes, my grandfather was a Southern Baptist minister, and he ended up becoming a Southern Methodist minister. So by the time I was born, that's all I knew was the Southern Methodist Church. And that is how I came up around the Southern Methodist Conference, all the conventions. And everywhere he had to go, I had to go. Yeah. So that is all I remember knowing, and that is my upbringing in the Methodist Church and vacation Bible schools, men's meetings. I think I was in meetings I wasn't supposed to be in, financial meetings. But anywhere my grandfather, who he's going on to be with the Lord now, the late Reverend Bernie, I was just under his wing, following his shadow.
Wow!
So that is my upbringing. But I came to California, and I had a dry spell. I think as some of us all do. There was a time where I just wasn't in the church. I wasn't involved with the church. And so I had to find my way back. So I didn't have any connection to the church. So by the time I came back and started following Christ, I found my way around to different denominations: Church of God in Christ, Church of Christ, non-denominational. But the whole while, I was just seeking Christ. Seeking Christ, but I found my way to this place called New Hope, somewhere in San Bernardino. Yes, ma'am. But that is my church background.
Wow, okay. What a great story! What a great story! And you're from Mississippi. You know, there are so many towns in Mississippi that nobody's ever heard of before. I mean, it's just crazy. We had a friend that was a member of the male chorus, you know, and he was from Boogie Bottom, Mississippi. And, you know, it's so many crazy. Why not Mississippi? That's where David Ruffin is from. And there's so many other towns in Mississippi. It's really interesting on how, and I'd like to talk to somebody one time, how all of these names came about. But anyway, outside of ministry here, again, I want to just say to our global audience, I thoroughly enjoyed the word that you brought today. And you and I had a brief spell before you came on. I said I was looking forward to your message because I like your energy. And you certainly didn't disappoint. Speaking of which, outside of ministry, do you have any other hobbies? What are they?
Thank you for asking, sir. Outside of ministry, I love to do music. I do Christian hip hop. If anybody didn't know, I do Christian hip hop. That's one of my hobbies. At one point in time, I did sing with a quartet, a gospel quartet, the Park Avenue Gospel Singers out in Riverside, California. I love to walk and, you know, run. Just this year, with one of the brothers in the church, we ran the half marathon, the LA marathon, 1 mile. I don't know if I ever do that one again, but, outside of music and trying to take care of myself, me and my wife, we love to find new food places and go eat out. And when we can, outside of our four children, we like to go and visit different comedy clubs and get a laugh in, you know, because life is hard and sometimes you just got to laugh this stuff off and laugh until you cry. So I like music and trying to take care of myself and getting a good laugh in and reading books. I like reading books. Last book I read was Acres of Diamonds, The Kingship of Self-Control. And As a Man Thinketh. So those are my hobbies outside of
wow.
Ministry itself.
Amazing. You touched on a couple of things that, I can relate to. As a matter of fact, when I was, New Hope, I used to enjoy, going out when we go to visit other churches like Men's Day and things like that and would look forward to seeing Park Avenue Baptist Church. Look forward to it.
Yeah.
So when did you leave the, Park Avenue Baptist, the male chorus part?
Pardon?
No, when did you sing with the Park Avenue Baptist Church? That's what I'm saying. The male chorus.
I sung with the Park Avenue Gospel Singers in the years of 2018, I believe 19.
Oh, wow. I'm sure we cross paths there. But anyway, a couple of things. And also that book that you talk about, Acres of Diamonds, I talk about that book often. I read it several years ago, and that's a very – it's a book that I think everyone should read. I really do. But anyway, wow, thank you for that.
Wow. Minister DeCorey, let me ask. Let me just comment first. I love – how you are so willing to make yourself available to ministry opportunities, and that's refreshing. Now, are there times when you feel that ministry is a burden or obligation that you must carry out because of what you have committed yourself to do?
Sister Beth, that's a good question, and thank you for asking. Mm-hmm. If I'm honest, I would say yes.
Mm-hmm.
I would say yes, but, you know, however, I think when you could commit yourself to anything, at times it's a burden. When you commit yourself to marriage, that is a commitment. You decided to say yes to a person for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. If you commit yourself to a career choice, you decided to say yes to different obligations, committed to getting things done in a timely fashion. Especially if you have children, you've committed your life to them and your energy. Mm-hmm. So at times, things are just going to be a burden. But I remember listening to a certain speaker. He said in life, sometimes you have to choose your heart. If you're going to do nothing, sometimes you have to choose the heart and the consequences of doing nothing. And if you choose to do something, you have to choose the heart of doing something. So when I decided to give my life to Christ and say yes to him and just repent of my sins, and when beyond that, answering the call of ministry and wanting to be a minister or, or, a pastor in the future, there I knew there are going to be burdens that come along with that. You have to deal with people, different personalities. There are times when I just doubt myself. There are times when I'm tired. I work two jobs while my wife is in Cal Baptist for the nursing program. You know, there are times when I want to say no, but I really have no perfect reason to say no because I'm not doing anything else. But I'm just tired. However, there's when I have to. That's when I have to rely on the strength that I know that only God can give. And I can't just. I can't rely on if I'm doing so well or just so terrible. You know, I have to worry about, am I pleasing God in this? You know. So yes, there are times where it's a burden, but it's a good burden.
Right. Amen. Thank you.
Yeah, it sounds like that's you say, hey, that's what I signed up for, right?
Yes, sir.
That's what I signed. Yep, absolutely. You know, Dr. Owens will soon celebrate 50 years of preaching. Now, that's a long time to do anything. You know, 50 years. Do you gather inspiration from knowing that there's your pastor? Had such a long career in preaching, and how does that inspire you, and what does it mean to you?
Yes, I gather from Dr. Owens, 50 years in ministry. That's a half a century. Who knows what Dr. Owens has been through in that, and me just meeting Dr. Owens in this year alone, and knowing that what he's been through with his with the passing of Sister Lisa, and just coming to New Hope, and you know, just getting established there. God, and getting to know him for myself, just personally outside of, you know, the pulpit. I love the man, and his just the little time I spent with him means a lot. And what was the second question?
It was, how does that inspire you?
How does that inspire me? It inspires me. It lets me know that there's possibilities for myself. He's been in school. He's been to school. He's had many accomplishments. It lets me know that I can do it as well. You know, if he can make it through a pandemic, you know, especially, like I said, you know, with the loss of his wife, and still maintain the duties of the church, and still deal with his own self and whatever he's going through, and, you know, and not let that get to him in a way to where it takes him out completely. And, you know, whatever he's been through prior in the last 49 years, it speaks a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. Of him as an individual. I want whatever he has. I don't know what it is. But I want
you want it.
Dr. Owens. I know it's Jesus. It's the same
thing. Right.
I want whatever Dr. Owens has. Yes, sir.
But that kind of goes along with the question I asked, the obligation to Christ keeps you going how many ever years, whether it's 5, 10, 15, 20, or 50. And so being obligated to the right thing, which is Christ, sharing his word, he's going to keep you going anyway. Amen. So, Minister DeCorey, I have the last question. Is there anything that you want our Studio WBuzz listening audience to know that we may have forgotten to ask you? I know we just scraped the surface, but is there anything that you want our listening audience to know?
I think you guys have covered everything that needs to be thought about me for right now, but just keep your hands in God's hands. Keep your eyes on him and keep your hands on the plow. Keep your hands on the plow, because he is definitely able, and I haven't known him to fail me or anybody else yet.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Oh, man. Well, thank you, Minister DeCorey. I really appreciate your message and you sticking around and answering questions for us, because I'm sure that many people want to ask you these questions. So thank you so much for that. And I want to thank you, Sister Beth Gill, for putting together the program like you do each and every week. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we will see you again next week. Hey, don't forget to tune in to the Gospel Explosion. Hey, we get this thing started a little bit early. Way before Beth even knows about it. Like 10 a.m. on the East Coast, 7 a.m. on the West. So tell your friends, then get up and listen to some great gospel music. And the official program will start at 2 p.m. right here on The Buzz. That's 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, followed by Hope is Alive. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, you can download one or two of our free apps on Android. That's Studio W. Just go to your Play Store. Apple is Studio.W. Always go to the website and leave a comment. That is StudioWBuzz.com. This program will be up within the next 24 hours right here on the website. So, also available on Alexa. In the meantime, enjoy your Sunday. Come back in a few hours or so, and it's going to be, oh, the Boomerang Radio Show. We're going to talk about your vote, why it is more important now than ever. In the meantime, Minister DeCorey Newsom, this one is for you. It is Well Done. That is Diedrich Hatton. Sister Gill, thank you so much.
We forgot our prayer. We forgot our prayer.
Oh, the prayer. Well, let me stop the music real quick. Okay. I'm so, got so excited here. Minister DeCorey Newsom, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, would you please?
We got an
Adam for
prayer.
Oh, got overly excited here. Minister DeCorey Newsom, if you would do the honors, please.
Father God, we thank you for all that you've done and all that you are. And yeah, may the grace Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, rest, rule, and abide until we all meet again. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, thank you, Sister Gill.
You're welcome.
Just want to make it to heaven.
Yes. Well done.
I just want to make it in. Oh, oh. I just want to cross that river.
Mother,
I want to be free from sin. Oh, oh, I just want my name written. Oh, Lord. Written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When this life is over, I just want to have eternal life, Lord. Oh, I want to hear you say, I want to hear you say, oh.
Well, I've been sitting here all day, I've been sitting here all day.
Just to hear you say,
are my strength.
And mighty ruler, the king of all the earth, we bow before your throne. Awesome wonder, yeah, in mighty ruler, king of all the earth, we bow before your throne. And we bow down and worship Yahweh. Oh, 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 oh yeah. We bow down and worship Yahweh. Come on, everybody, lift your voice. Let's worship.